Doesn't say our circumstances are good, it says that you're good. And sometimes when things are not good, we have to remember that you're still good. Our circumstances should not dictate our belief that you're God, you reign supreme, you are Lord over everything, you are in control, even when our whole world may seem out of control, you're still good. God, I just pray that in this place this morning, we would get an understanding of how truly good you are. How every single one of us has a purpose to their lives this morning. And how your great plan for us is to know that purpose and for us to see that purpose outworked. And so God, help us to understand by your Holy Spirit the Word. Help us to have our minds illuminated to truths that maybe we've never seen before, that we would leave this place changed forever, never to go back to what we were, for your glory and for your honor. And everybody said together, amen, amen. You may be seated, everyone. Thank you, musos and singers. You're both, so thank you very much. Children, you are dismissed. Amen. God's good, right? Yes, he is. I want to speak this morning from a passage in Luke, if you have your Bibles or if you use your personal devices for your Bible, you can tap to Luke chapter 5. We don't turn anymore. I had, how many of you ever had a day where you've been busy, 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 and you're looking forward to a time of relaxing, and then someone texts or calls you and says, can we talk? And I'm just like, something inside of me is saying yes, but there's something else also inside of me saying no at the same time. And I had a moment like that yesterday where we had done a bunch of stuff and I was just gearing up to gear down, if that makes any sense to you. And it was like, yes, finally I can just do sort of nothing. And then a text message, hey, you got time to catch up? Technically, yes, I did have time. And I was just sort of caught into this moment. Now, to be very honest with you, those seconds don't last very long for me because something else sort of kicks in. And I said, maybe this is a God moment. So I just have to engage, right? And so I said, yes, of course, I've got time. I'd love to hang out, you know? But sometimes, if we're being real honest with each other, there are just times where we just don't feel great. We don't feel very effective. We don't feel like we got lots of energy and all that sort of stuff. There are even times where we feel maybe we're a bit of a failure. Maybe we're not really succeeding in areas of life that we would like to be succeeding in. And we all have moments like this across the board. And the story that I'm going to read for you today in Luke chapter 5 is a moment that I'm sure Peter was having. All right? Do we all know what Peter's occupation was? Pre-Jesus, Peter was a fisherman. All right? This was probably the same thing that his father did and probably the same thing that his father's father did as well. So this is sort of the family business thing. And what we read in Luke chapter 5 is Jesus has this, his ministry has just sort of kicked off, and he's been to his hometown, and they haven't really appreciated him very much there, and he's gone and done a bunch of miracles, if you read the first few chapters, and people are being healed and all that sort of stuff. And then in chapter 5, it says that one day Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, or maybe it says the Lake of Gennesaret in your particular passage, but they're the same thing. And great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word. All right, so Jesus is having a great day. And then we get to Peter, and so Jesus has noticed two empty boats on the water's edge, and the fishermen had left them because they were washing their nets. So Peter has had one of those nights, and they've gone out on the water, and they haven't caught anything, all right? His nets are all out. They're cleaning probably the seaweed they caught out of their nets, because in order to have a good night tomorrow, we got to clean the nets now, right? All right, so they're having not a great day, but it says that there's a whole bunch of people there watching them clean their nets. Yeah? So have you ever had moments where you had an audience to how not great you're doing? Yeah? So I'm sure most of them were focused on Jesus, and I'm sure even Peter and his buddies who were all fishermen, I'm sure even they were pretty keen to listen to Jesus, because Jesus was causing like an uproar. There were crowds of people pressing in on him on the shore, all right? And so it wasn't like there was 10 people crowding him out. In fact, there were so many people that Jesus couldn't really talk to the crowd, all right? Because often we know that the shoreline goes down, so Jesus is down at the bottom. There's all these crowds of people, plus there's two boats, plus there's nets, plus fishermen. And so Jesus just gets into one of the boats, as you do. Now, Jesus gets into one of the boats, and he says, hey, would you mind taking me out a little bit so more people can hear me? Basically, that's what happens. Now, what we see is this sort of a unique kind of a moment where Peter's having a bad day, and Jesus takes no notice. All right? What we don't see is Jesus preaching to the crowd, notices that Peter's down, stops preaching to the crowd, goes down on one knee, hey, buddy, how are you? You have a bad day? You know, like, we don't see, like, the consolation going on that we would often love to see God do for us. Yes? When we're not having a good day, and, oh, it's okay, buddy, and, oh. No, he doesn't take Peter's feelings into consideration whatsoever, and just gets in his boat. Does he ask? No, it doesn't say that Jesus asked Peter, hey, buddy, mind if I get in your boat? He just gets in and says to Peter, would you mind rowing me out a little bit? So imagine, Peter's cleaning his nets. Yeah, he's listening and probably enjoying the message, all that sort of stuff. And then Jesus gets into his boat and he's like, do you see I'm busy? Yeah. Peter could have said that, yes? Peter could have said to his friends, can you get in the other boat? Can you take Jesus out? I don't feel like doing this. And I think it's so good to pick up on these parts of the stories, because so often our feelings dictate what we do. So often. How we feel, you know, if we're down, if we're not having a great day and all that sort of stuff, and everything doesn't seem to be going right. Imagine Jesus knocks on your boat in that kind of a scenario. You'd love to think, yeah, I'd hop right up. You know, I'd be like, yes, Jesus got in my boat, and he'd fold up all your nets and put all your gear away and put that all, tuck it away in the boat and just hop in and say, yay, what a wonderful day. But the reality is we'd be like, are you sure you want to get in my boat? I was just about to go home and sleep. I've had a long day, Jesus. May I get that you're having a great day. Wonderful. Amen. But I haven't had a great night, and I just want to do what I want to do. But we see Peter, for whatever reasons that are not outlined there in the story, just does it. He just does it. He just says yes. And I think this is pretty indicative of how Jesus works in everyone's life at some point in time. Whether it's you're having a moment of prayer, whether you've come to church on a particular Sunday, You're not feeling great. You're surprised you're even here sometimes. And then Jesus wants to just get in your boat. And you're just like, hold on a tick. Maybe if you show me a good catch first, then I will, right? Or maybe if you can lighten my mood a little bit, then I'll respond. Or maybe if I could feel better about myself a little bit, then get in my boat. I'll go and do whatever you want. But what we see in the story and what you will find in your relationship with Jesus is that he doesn't particularly care about your feelings. And you might think, you can't say that. That sounds so not very nice. But Jesus, if Jesus was going to dictate how he moves by how you feel, he wouldn't move very much. Because we're not often up. And I thank God today that his involvement in my life was not as a repercussion of how I was feeling. In fact, I'm grateful that on my low days, on the days that I wasn't having a great day, Jesus just comes in. He just shows up, and he just, with his truth-filled, wonderful self, comes into your world and just sort of says, okay, let's go. Oh. Yeah, now in that moment, we have a choice to make. In that moment, we have a choice to make. And this first thing that Peter did didn't have any real benefit to him whatsoever, right? This was for the crowd's sake. This was him serving Jesus and serving the crowd. And oftentimes the first thing Jesus asks us to do is to serve someone else. Oh, but remember, I'm feeling bad about myself. And the first thing you want me to do is what? Make someone else feel better? Do you understand how Jesus confronts our feelings with good practice? Because what Jesus knows is that the way towards a healthy heart is to practice love. The way toward you being better on the inside is to get perspective on what's healthy. And what's healthy is not wallowing in our feelings. What's healthy is serving other people for their benefit. Now that seems counterintuitive. Everything that's going on in my head, but if you've ever done it, what you realize is that helping someone else actually made me feel good. Isn't that crazy? I wasn't feeling good, but I went and I helped that person, and then, I got a blessing from being a blessing. And so Jesus sort of just has to change our perspective and says, I'm going to challenge you to serve someone else, and that's going to help you with your perspective. And that's the first thing Jesus will always ask us to do, is put someone else before you to take the focus off of you. Now, if you're not ready to do that, then Jesus can't go any further with you. Because you won't let him past how you're feeling. You can pray all you want. Jesus won't go anywhere further with you. You have to overcome your feelings. And what we see Peter do, and to his credit, no matter how he was feeling on this particular day, he just got in the boat, got all his gear in there, and they left, they stepped into the boat, and he pushes it out into the water, and it says that Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Now, I can imagine Peter being tired, right? And he's now been asked to just sit there in front of everybody, right? Do any of you remember going to church when the chairs were up here for the pastors? Did anyone ever go to a church like that? Yeah? My first church, I remember that all growing up in church, but my first church where I was pastoring, they were borderline thrones. They were so decorative and ornate, but they were all right here, right? So now you might think, oh, it's such an honor to be up there, all that sort of stuff. Really what it meant is I had to look engaged the whole time while someone else is preaching. Yes? Because everyone's watching me. I'm standing there. I can't go to sleep. I can't do anything. I've got to like pretend make notes. I've got to be reading my Bible. I can't even have like a comic in there or anything. I had to pay attention. Jesus asked Peter to come out in front with him. Now he's probably tired. I got to sit in the boat. You listen to me. I'm going to finish preaching. Now I don't know how long he preached for, but I would say that Jesus would preach good times. And nowhere does it ever say in the Gospels that the crowd got tired and left. Ever. Because to listen to Jesus was to hear the truth. And so people would just sit, and I reckon Jesus would have gone on for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, and Peter's just there with his... Yes, amen, amen. Now remember, Peter's not a disciple yet. This is Luke telling the history of the Gospels. Luke wasn't a disciple. He was a historian. And so he's getting the story of how this all happened. And so Peter's not a disciple yet in the story. And so I imagine Peter was very engaged. And Peter, as everybody in the crowd, would have been very taken with this. But he's out there in front of everybody, just sitting in his boat. I'm sure he certainly didn't have his Sunday best on. You know, he's just sitting there post-fishing all night. You know, smelly probably a little bit, not probably a little bit, a lot. Anyway, he's out there in front of everybody. And so he has to deal with his feelings. Jesus is forcing him to deal with his feelings. But the great thing about this story is not only will Jesus challenge you to serve other people, Jesus always intends to do something more with you. So Peter thought this was just me serving this teacher guy for a preaching gig. But that wasn't it actually at all. You see, Jesus got into Peter's boat for a very specific reason, and he knew whose boat it was. It wasn't like, oh, whoever's boat this is, I'll get into that one. Jesus knew what he was doing. And what you have today, the truth you have to wrestle with and come to believe is Jesus knows who you are. He knows how you're wired. He knows the plans that he has for you. He knows why you're breathing at this particular point in history. And whenever he comes in touch with your life and invades your space, you have to understand it's for more than just serving somebody else. It's for more than just that particular moment. And so after all of this stuff happens, Jesus turns to Peter and he says, now Peter, I'd like us to go out a little bit deeper to where the deep water is, and I'd like you to drop your nets down. You know, like now this is getting very personal. Hey, I brought you out here. I packed up my nets. I was tired. I did the right thing. And now you want me to start fishing? Like, put yourself in this situation. Who's the fisherman in the boat? Who knows what's going on? Who knows that you don't go fishing in the morning? Right? Once the sun's up, it's starting to get warmer, you don't go fishing. You go fishing when it's like 4 a.m., right? No, he's like, Jesus, the non-fisherman, says, you know what, Peter, I think now's a good time to go fishing. What do you reckon? Jesus had amazing things in store for Peter, and this was a moment of choice for Peter. This was a moment that would define the rest of Peter's life. Peter didn't know that, though. And here's what often happens in our Christian walk. There are moments that will come, and you don't even know, but God is in this moment, and it will actually change the trajectory of your entire life if you have the courage to be obedient. But again, if your feelings are still in the driver's seat, you'll miss it. You might be moments away from a miracle. Jesus knows what he's doing, but we haven't got a clue. And this is where our belief, what we actually believe about Jesus, comes to bear. All right? Because if we believe him to be the King of Kings, if we believe him to be over all things, if we believe him that everything exists today because he created it to be, then what do you say to him if he asks you to do something? Yes, an emphatic yes. If he was standing right here and he asked you literally to do anything for him, what would you say? Yes. I want you to go chop down 10 trees. If he was standing right down in front of you, you would say, okay, sure. But we don't have the luxury of Jesus being physically in our boats, do we? We have our faith in him that he is alive, that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, that he intercedes for us, that he is just as real today as he has always been. But sometimes the truth of that still does not trigger us to say yes. Instead, we rely on what we know or what we believe to be true instead. And we make decisions based on other things. At some stage of the game, it will become clear as you're journeying with Jesus that Jesus did not design you and plant you in history today just to do whatever it is that you do for a job. Yeah? It's bigger than that. Peter was a fisherman. What Peter was coming to terms with was the fact that Jesus was actually calling him to more than fishing, for fish. This was a moment where his whole meaning and purpose of life was going to change. And that's what you find out about Jesus. Oh, I'm more than that? Oh, I'm more than just a whatever? Plastic maker person, I'm more than just a carpenter, I'm more than just an IT person, I'm more than just whatever that blank is for you. You need to realize that God doesn't just want you to be the nicest version of that you can be. God has selected us to be influencers and to bring change into our world. Yeah. That's the truth. To send you out with good news to change people's lives. That's what he's calling us to. Right? And it's exciting and it's an adventure. It should not be boring. Unless we're not doing it right. And so Peter is in this moment and he's got no idea what Jesus is doing. All Jesus asks for him to do is be obedient, to be a person that would say yes, to let down a net in the face of what he knew seemed an impossibility, to just be obedient and allow Jesus to be in the driver's seat of our lives. So it begs the ultimate question of would you or will you obey when Jesus says, do this? That's the ultimate question. Will you just say yes without any explanation? Without the, you know, Jesus pulls out his fishing thing and says, look, Peter, I've got the GPS on the fish, and what I see is a school has just moved into the area and all that sort of, would you drop your net now? And sometimes we want all the information, and God, if you could just prove to me that this is all going to work out, then absolutely I'll drop my nets. Well, that doesn't take faith at all. But Jesus wasn't even trying to make Peter a great fisherman in that sense. Peter was about to have his best day of fishing on record. And he never fished again for fish. Right? And so Jesus is having a moment with Peter, and Peter hasn't really got a clue what Jesus is really asking him. But in verse 4 it says, "Now go out to where it's a little bit deeper and let down your nets." Now I love that Peter says this, the fisherman now talking to the teacher. Master or rabbi, he said, we worked hard all night. Just giving you some information. Maybe you didn't know. But how many times do we give God information that he already knows? But anyway, just in case you didn't know, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But here's what I love. In the face of what seems illogical to Peter, he says this, "But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." Just because you say so. Now, this seems to be a pattern with Peter, yes? When else does he say, "If you say so, I will"? It happens in a boat. He says, "If you say so, I'll get out of the boat." All right? So this is a pattern that develops in Peter's life, but this is where it starts. And this time their nets were so full, it says. Peter says yes, which then unlocks what God wants to do. In the face of, it's not logical, we shouldn't be fishing at this time, it doesn't make sense, I don't feel like doing this, I just want to go home. Jesus certainly has never fished a day in his life. What does he know? In the face of all that, he just says, yes. Even though it doesn't make sense, I'll put the nets down because you say so. He catches so many fish that the nets begin to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled from one net. A miracle. There's no other way to say this other than the fact that this is a miracle. Both boats are filled and on the verge of sinking. All right, that's a lot of fish. That's a lot of fish. Now Peter has a moment with Jesus. Not the teacher, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, before all of this happens, Peter doesn't fall down at Jesus' feet and say, "You're Jesus, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy." He's just, "Yeah, if you need me to do that, sure. Or if you need me to let down the net," then he says yes. But on the back of obedience comes revelation. All of a sudden, now he's not worthy. Because he realizes that he's in the presence of not just a great talker, not just a guy I've heard done some miracles and all that sort of stuff. Now he understands, I'm in the presence of God. Because he said yes. And how many times do we go without revelation about the greatness of God because we don't have the courage to say yes when he asks us to do something, when he asks us to talk to somebody? Not only would Peter have missed out on a great fishing story, yes, he could have that for all time, and he could go anywhere that where there were fishermen and say, "Well, how big was your biggest catch?" And he would let them tell their story thinking they were great. He'd say, "Well, let me tell you about my day. You know how many fish I caught with one net one day? Two boats were filled and they were almost sinking." That was a miracle. So not only does he have a miracle story, but he has a revelation in his life that changes everything. that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And from that moment on, Peter's life is never the same. Never. Does it say that from that moment on, Peter's life is perfect? No. Peter made great big errors. He often said things he shouldn't have said and did things he shouldn't have done. And so revelation does not bring perfection. But revelation does change trajectory. It brings transformation. And what we see at the end of this particular passage is they got to shore. Peter has this revelation moment with Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, you know what, Peter? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And it says that they left their boats that day and followed Jesus. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. What God wanted to do with this fisherman, this normal guy who was just having a very average day, that God can do extraordinary things with anybody who says, yes. That's the truth. This is the revelation that we all must have when you're listening to stories like this, is it doesn't take super people to do God things. It takes average people to say yes, and God to do extraordinary things that are clearly not us, but the reflection of Him through us. Imagine, you could find yourself one day around a table full of people who are broken and lost. And the Holy Spirit says to you, you know what, I just want you to share a very simple gospel message with these people. What would you say? Of course, we know that what we would love to say, yes? Yeah, amen. Yes, Jesus, I've been preparing for this for months, yay! But really, something else inside of us is saying, no. No, 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 no. We know what we ought to do. And when we read stories like this, what we need to remember in those moments is the miracle will always come on the other side of yes. These are the moments where there is no more time for praying. There is no more time for intercession. There's no more time for getting into the Word. This is the moment you've been preparing for, and God wants to release something into the space. Imagine you just said yes. And because you've been preparing for this, you, in a simple way that they understand, begin to share the gospel message with those people. And then imagine they all gave their lives to Jesus Christ because you said yes, and because Jesus was already up to something before you ever got to the table. Yes. Doesn't that sound like a great story? Yes. Oh, we all want that story. That's the adventure of Christianity, people. It's just people who said yes in circumstances that don't make any sense, that may seem illogical, or we make decisions based on what's happened in the past. And Jesus is just saying, I don't care about all that stuff. Just listen to me and let me do what only I can do and engage with it by saying yes. I love to jump from this story to the day of Pentecost. Peter, who has never preached a day in his life and has to be the follow-up act to the master teacher of Jesus Christ, gets up on the day of Pentecost and delivers an eloquent, beautiful, Bible-filled message of the good news. All because he said yes to rowing Jesus out all those days ago. You see, every little yes leads to something greater, because God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got something bigger in store for you than just, oh yeah, I used to not be a nice person, but I'm nice now because I go to church and I'm with Jesus. God doesn't want you just to be a nicer person. He didn't die on the cross so that you could be nicer. He died on the cross to create world changers who have influence in every single sphere that is around them. And we've got to get a hold of that. We've got to believe that. It's not reserved for the Peters and the Pauls of the New Testament. It is for all of us. The gates, my friends, have been thrown wide open. And whosoever shall enter in can be used for His glory and for His honor. And I am telling you today that God has wonderful things in store for you if you will say yes. I remember when I was 4, I heard the audible voice of God call me into the ministry. We were doing devotions at home. I don't remember anything else from that year, but I do remember that. There was something inside of me that knew that that was God, and all of the years of my life, from that point on, I just knew I was going into the ministry. I couldn't really define it. I certainly wasn't greater or better than anybody else, but I just knew. I remember on the day that I was about to go to Bible college, my dad takes me out to the car. You know, he's going to have like a father-son. We're going to have a father-son talk. And he just takes me out and he just says, I feel like I need to say this to you. He said, I know that you've talked about this almost your whole life. And now you're taking a step to go into it. He goes, I want you to know that you don't have to do this for me or for anybody else who's ever heard you say it. You know, he's just trying to create a space to let me off the hook, I guess, if I felt obliged or something like that. He's just like, you don't have to say yes. And with absolute conviction in my heart, I said, Dad, I'm not doing this for you. I'm not doing this for anybody else. Or because I said it so many times leading up to this, I'm doing this because I know that it's something he's asked me to do, and I'm just saying yes. And I can honestly tell you all today that I'm standing here in this place this morning simply because, not because I have degrees, not because of all the ministry years experience, but simply because I just kept saying yes. It's a simple equation. But it takes us just to be faithful and to allow God then to help us through our feelings, because I didn't say feelings were from the devil. I just said they don't belong in the driver's seat. In fact, the only one who can help us with our feelings is Jesus, because he binds up the brokenhearted. He heals all wounds. So here's the challenge. All of this all comes down to this. Maybe just hearing this, if you pictured yourself having a boat, you felt Jesus just got in. He's in. Now what? What are we going to do? What is he asking of us? What is he challenging us with? What service can we do? What little thing can we do to serve other people? I always tell my family, I don't come to church for me. I don't. Do I get blessed when I come to church? Without a doubt. But I don't come for me. I come for other people. It gives me perspective on what this is all about. The love of God, the heart of Jesus Christ was to come and serve others. And so, maybe there's something even today that God is inspiring you with, even right now, to just go and be a blessing to somebody else. And my encouragement to you this morning is first to forget what you haven't done. please do not let guilt and shame be the driver's seat. Because that's almost immediately our response when God is asking us to do something is something then will come to say, yeah, but you didn't do that and you haven't done that and you haven't, again, letting the past dictate the future. And may I encourage you, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross deals with the past. He's the answer to the past question. And so there is no guilt, no shame. Forget what you haven't done. And just with courage and a great sense of, I don't know what's going to happen out of all this, but I believe in Jesus, just do it. Just do it. It could be a little tiny thing, and you may never get a pat on the back or a handshake or a, woo, you're awesome. It doesn't matter because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. But just say yes to the little things, the little things. And then at some stage of the game, God's going to come. Jesus is going to be like, well, now that we're used to traveling with each other, can you do this for me, please? Now, just a little preface. He doesn't need you to explain anything to him. Okay? Or give him a heads up about how things really are, because he knows more than you do. All he's asking for is a yes. So a day might come where it's not just a little serving thing, but it's a bigger thing. And he's just asking you to say yes. Just say yes. It's a simple principle, I know, but we all wrestle and struggle with it. And so what I don't want you to hear is condemnation. What I want you to hear is that God brought you and your boat here today because of his grace, because he loves us, and because he still wants in to the boat. I don't get that, but he still wants into my boat in spite of all I've done. Can we stand up together, please? And I just want to finish with a prayer today. And believe me, I include myself in this prayer. That we would just, when it comes to Jesus Christ, be yes people. No more no's. And sometimes it's even healthy or helpful to write that down somewhere. What if I just never said no again? No more no's. When I know it's God tapping me on the shoulder, no more no's. Will I feel like I'm prepared all the time? No. Will I feel like it makes sense all the time? No. Will it be because I'm feeling great? No. But from now on, what Jesus is always going to hear from me is a yes. No matter what it costs me, no matter how it looks, I'm going to choose obedience. And here's the promise, everyone. Your miracle may be just one yes away. There may be the lives of some people at stake when you say yes. Now that's a responsibility, and I recognize that. But if we don't, then who? That's what Paul said. If we don't say yes, then the world's not going to say yes. And so, God, I just thank you for this space. I thank you for stories like this, which maybe we've read over or we, yeah, well, that's a nice story. But really, in the story is the crux of everything that you ask from us, which is obedience. To obey is greater than sacrifice. To obey is greater than singing out really loud worship songs. To obey is greater than turning up to church every week. Obedience is always what you ask for. A willing heart that no matter what it costs, no matter how I feel, I'll say yes. And my hope and prayer this morning is that that's what we've heard. God, forgive us for what we haven't done. And we can all raise our hand for that. But as we're in this space, I pray that our hearts would be encouraged and that we would find courage to say, from now on, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be ready. Peter just happened to have clean nets. He had no idea, but he was ready. God, that we too would be ready, that we would be in the Word and ready, that we would be praying and ready, that no matter what comes up, no matter what you throw our way, that we would have the energy, the grace, the Holy Spirit, the understanding, and the revelation to do the right thing in that moment, that we might see many lives changed for your glory and for your honor, because we've all been called to be fishers of men and women. All of us. So God, I just thank you for this word. I pray that it would continue to resonate in our hearts throughout the week, that we would be in tune and be listening to when you want us to say yes to something, and that we would be faithful, and that we would see great things done in your mighty name. God, I thank you in advance for miracles that we are going to hear about because your people said yes. I thank you in advance for lives that are going to be won for the kingdom because your people said yes. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray, guys, that would just sort of resonate with you throughout the week. And don't look back. Look forward. Yeah? Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're having lunch, so should we say grace?
Why not?
Yeah? God, thank you. We're just praying right again.